our Sunday morning service. Can all please have a seat, grab a hymnal, and open up that hymnal to song number 296. We can begin this morning's service by singing song number 296. Follow on. Song number 296.
Thank you. If you need a bulletin, go ahead and slip up your hand. Brother Adam will bring you one. We're a little short this morning with bulletins. Had a little bit of a printer issue, but so if the kids could just skip the bulletin, I'll have more tonight. Just so we make sure we have enough for everybody else. But if you open up your bulletin, on the inside there, we have our service times every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. again at 5:30 p.m. Thursdays at 7. We'll be in 2 Kings 13 this week. We've got the churchwide soul winning, the salvations, baptisms, and offering totals below that, as well as the attendance. And, of course, happy birthday to everyone celebrating in the month of December. As far as I know, it's just myself and my youngest celebrating. So happy birthday to us. And that's who the donuts are for. But freely, you may receive. I'll impart that unto you. So it looks like all that got left for me was glazed. So, but anyways, that's my own fault for not taking first pick. You should get first pick on your birthday month. And if you don't take first pick, well, it's your own fault. Anyway, if your birthday or anniversary is not listed in the bulletin, it's because I don't have that information and or lost it. So if you want to get that to me, I'll make sure we have those in there month by month. And then also below that, the Christmas CDs are available. So I put those out there on the shelf in the back. So you can hand those out liberally when soul winning. But the digital packs are preserved for personal use and as gifts. So if you look at them, you say, what's the difference one between the other? Well, if you just look at them straight like that, it's going to be hard to tell. But if you just turn them like this, right, then it becomes very apparent which one is which. So the thin ones, these are the sleeved ones. Obviously, just hand these out as much as you want. When you're out soul winning, probably just give it to people that actually answer the door, maybe. You know, we are kind of limited on these this year, so just kind of maybe if, when you're out soul winning, if you talk to somebody, you know, not even if you give them the gospel, they just come to the door, just, hey, we're handing these out, and we'll just hand these out through maybe even to the close to the new year. But just hand these out when you're out soul winning to those that answer the door. Don't leave them behind, maybe, you know, if nobody's home. But then these ones, the thicker ones, the digipacks, these are explicitly for just either your own personal use if you want one, or if you want to give one as a gift to somebody you know, you can go ahead and do that as well. These are a little bit more limited, but so that's why we're trying to reserve those. They're a little more expensive. So those are in, and then the Christmas invites for the candlelight service, are those still in this week? So we'll have those for you to hand out soul winning in the next, by Thursday? So we'll have those by Thursday for sure. So we'll have also those to hand out for the Christmas Eve candlelight service, which is the next announcement there, Saturday, December 24th at 7 p.m. So you all know the story there. That's just a brief reading of the Christmas story and the singing of the carols where we light those candles. That's always a special service. So come on out, invite folks out. On the back, the homeschool field trip to the Arizona Deserts Museum is coming up quick. So if you're going to participate in this, meaning you're a homeschooling parent or you have school-age children, just kind of observe the caveat there. One parent for families with 5 children or less, 2 parents for 6 children or more. If you're planning on coming, though, and you haven't signed up, please do that ASAP. And then below that, these next two announcements, these are actually events that are taking place in Tempe. But I did want to put it in here just so you know you would have, if it's something you want to do, you're more than welcome to attend. You just need to let me know. So there's, first of all, the ladies' Christmas craft evening. I think they're making, Christmas tree ornaments this year. So all the ladies and teen girls are invited. However, there is a strictly no children policy, except if you have a nursing child, meaning it's a child you have to kind of keep, you know, in your lap, in your arms, just because I think there's a lot of scissors and needles and other things. We don't want kids running around or moms to have to worry about that. So that is the one rule there. And then also there's some Christmas caroling going on up there on Tuesday, December 20th. I know my family's planning on being there for that. And basically we go out for an hour. They break up into like groups of 20 or so, go out and go to some nicer, you know, some neighborhoods where people are, you know, decorating for the holidays. It's always really, I've done it 3 or 4 times now. It's always a fun time. It's worth the trip up there if you want to go. I might have a couple seats available in the van if anyone wants to go with me and my family. We'd be more than happy to take you up there. And then so we go out for about an hour, you know. So, again, this is in Tempe. Don't show up here on Tuesday, December 20th expecting to go caroling because you're going to end up going singing a solo, all right? And maybe you're into that, okay? But and you're by all means, feel free. But we're gonna be in Tempe. Again, you go out for about an hour, and then we come back and have some hot cocoa. So if you want to go, just let me know, and I'll get you up there, or you can just show up. And we've also got the song service listed there below that for the upcoming week, so take note of that. But that's going to do it for announcements. We'll go ahead and sing one more song before we get into the preaching this morning. As it goes around, you can follow along with me as you read from Exodus chapter number 20 this morning. It's going to be Exodus chapter number 20. In Exodus chapter number 20, the Bible reads, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of thy fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor to do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day, a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord God made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto thick darkness, where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not you shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. If thou wilt make an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness not be discovered thereon. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, again, thank you for this time we have to come together. And Lord, I pray you just meet with us again tonight or this morning. And Lord, that you would help me to preach your word, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. So I'm going to take a break from the series I've been preaching the last several weeks. And I'm going to preach a sermon called Joy. So I want to preach a sermon called Joy. And basically, we're going to just look at it, each one of those letters that make up that word. This isn't anything new. This is probably something you might have heard in the past, how you spell joy. And those are going to be the 3 points, because as has been expressed elsewhere, is that, to have joy in your life is to put Jesus, others, and yourself in that order. And that's how you have joy. And I think this is an important topic, especially this time of year, because obviously this is a very joyful time of year. At least it ought to be. Christmas is always, we always think about having joy and peace and those things around the Christmas time. But, honestly, almost ironically, for a lot of people, this can be a very difficult time of year as well. A lot of times people end up just reflecting on how, Christmases in the past or the seasons at this time in the past, were better than they are now. They may be thinking about somebody that they've lost or relationships that are no longer there. That is the case for a lot of people. That's why even around a very joyful time of year where we're celebrating the birth of Christ, we're celebrating glad tidings unto men and peace to the earth, that can still be a very depressing time for some people. And it's unfortunate and it's understandable. It's not to fault anybody. That's just kind of human nature. That's just kind of how life goes sometimes. Some people are going to be more joyful than others. But, if we are kind of suffering in that area, whether it be, this time of year or really any time of year, when we're going through times where we don't feel like we have joy, there is a recipe, so to speak, for joy that we can have if we'll put things in their proper order. If we'll have the right priorities in our life, if we'll put ourselves and others and God in the right places, in their respective places, we will have joy in our lives. I believe that. I'm not saying we're never going to have a trial again. We're never going to have difficulty. We're never going to be sad. We're never going to experience grief or loneliness or any of those things. But through all those things, in those temptations, we could still go through them having joy in our lives and living a blessed life. So that first letter, of course, in joy is the letter J, right? And that stands for Jesus. If you want to have joy in your life, you need to learn to put Jesus first in your life. Okay, and this is actually something that is commanded in Scripture, that we are to put God first in our lives. You might have noticed it there in Exodus chapter 20 where he's laying out the Ten Commandments, right? He's saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Not that there are other gods, but God is saying you're not, he goes on and explains, look, you're not going to have any graven image. You're not going to make anything of the likeness that is in heaven or in the earth beneath. You know, you're not going to bow down to these things. You're not going to serve these things. Why? He says in verse 5 there, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. You know, God is jealous for our affection. God wants us to worship him and him only. God wants us to put him first in our lives. You know, this is something that is actually commanded. You know, this is something that we are supposed to be doing in our lives, is putting God first. You know, God should be the priority in our lives. And if we're, you know, if joy is not something we're, you know, feeling or experiencing in our lives, if that's something that's, you know, absent in our lives, you know, it might just be because we're not putting God first. You know, true joy comes from knowing and walking with the Lord. You know, a lot of other things can go wrong in life. We can have a lot of other difficulties and trials. We can go through a lot of other things in life, but we can go through those things, you know, kind of with a smile on our face, so to speak, if we put God first. You know, God is that source of joy. That's why it's so important to put him first in all things and not to kind of just get around to, you know, the Lord when it's convenient. You know, God ought to be front and center in our lives. He ought to be the first and foremost thing in our lives. He commands it. I mean, it's something, he's right out of the gate here with the children of Israel. You know, he's coming down on this pillar of fire and smoke, and he's, one of the first things he's saying to them, look, right out of the gate, the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Put me first, is what God is saying. You must put God first. And if we'll do that, we will have joy. Like, you can't put God at the end, right? Because that's not going to spell joy. It's going to spell oija, right? Which is not even a word, right? So you got to put God first if you want to make joy in your life, if you want to have that in your life. God has to come first. Put Jesus first. And he goes on here in verse 7. He says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, verse 7. For then I will hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is in thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord God made heaven and the sea and all that in them is, and rest on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed. Obviously, we don't observe the Sabbath day. We don't have to, aren't in bondage to these things, these ordinances that are contained in the law. These have been done away in Christ. The point of reading this is to show you that God puts an emphasis. You know, these first four commandments is just, it's about me. Now, no other gods, don't take my name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He's like, he's just drilling this into them. God comes first. You know, when we ask people about the Ten Commandments, probably the first ones that might come to mind are, you know, don't murder, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, these things. But, you know, that's the latter half of the Ten Commandments. The first things that God wants us to get into our head is to put him first and not to let him be put on the back burner in our lives. God has to be the centerpiece in our lives. If we do that, we'll have joy. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 44. Jeremiah chapter 44. Obviously, this is a commandment in Scripture. He goes on in Exodus 23 and says, and in all these things I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. God doesn't want to even hear the name of other gods coming out of their mouth. God wants all of their attention to be put on him, right? And that's a commandment. You know, and that's something we should just do out of duty. And if we fail to do that, you know, there are consequences. You know, it's not just like, and it's not just the absence of joy. There will be other consequences in our lives. I mean, what if we disregarded the other Ten Commandments? What if other people, you know, even the world who doesn't even believe the Bible has enough sense to at least observe that latter half? They might not care about God or the Bible or any of those things. That, you know, they could just, they'll take them out of every part of the public square that they can. They'll take them out of the courthouses and the public schools. They'll blaspheme his name in the media. They'll, you know, they'll, in ungodly entertainment, will just drag the name of Jesus Christ, you know, through the mud and just mock the things of God. You know, they'll do that, right? But, you know, they at least have enough sense to observe that latter half, right? They all know, well, it's not going on just, you know, committing murder. You know, they have laws against those things, right? So they observe those things, right? But is the world really, are the people out in the world some of the more joyful people that you've met? I mean, the world, even the people you would think would have the most joy, the most successful The most well-off people often are still very miserable people. And it's, you know, why is that? It's because they haven't put God first, right? We should put God first. It's a commandment. Just as much as, you know, not killing is a commandment. Just as much as not stealing is a commandment. Just as much as that, all those things that pertain to, you know, you and I getting along here on this earth. Just as important as those are, none of us would ever dream of breaking those commandments, you know, but what about putting God first? What about making sure there's no other gods, making sure that we're putting God first in our lives? Is that as important to us as it should be, right? If not, you know, well, there's not going to be any joy, okay? Look at Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 1. If we don't put God first, you know, we don't observe these things, there will be consequences. God commanded Exodus 20 early on to the children of Israel before they even got in the promised land when they're fresh out of Egypt. He's commanding them to do these things. We all know the story. They failed miserably. They did not observe these things like they should. We get to Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 1. It says, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning the Jews, which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdal and at Tahpenes and at Noph in the country of Pathros, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, right? And upon the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein. God's saying, look, you've seen how much I've dwelt, or excuse me, how much I've condemned with Jerusalem and Judah. I'm judging them harshly, right? No man dwelleth therein. This day they are a desolation. I mean, God has severely punished Jerusalem. Why is that? Well, verse 3. What is it that they did that made God so mad to where he made them a desolation that no man dwelleth therein? Verse 3, because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods. I mean, what is it that made God so upset? Is that they went to serve other gods. They forsook the Lord God of Israel and broke those commandments and, you know, made their graven images and offered things unto idols, and as a result, you know, God judged them harshly. You know, so we can't just say, well, you know, I'll find joy in other places in my life. You know, I really don't need to make God a priority. I really don't need to, you know, I know I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, but it doesn't really matter to me whether or not, you know, I read my Bible or pray or go soul winning or, you know, I go to church or, you know, if I have any kind of a relationship with God, you know, God's just kind of there in the background. You know, I can still go out and I can still do my thing and have my fun. And you know what? And you will probably have, you know, some level of enjoyment out of those things. But what you won't have, in all likelihood, is the contentment, the peace, and the joy that will actually see you through difficult and hard times in life that we're all going to go through. We're all going to go through pain, hardship, sorrow, you know, and people can start taking their pills and everything else and seeing their doctors and trying all these different things to try to deal with those things. But, you know, the answer to joy is in putting God first. And look, we can go ahead and ignore God and say, well, I'll have my fun elsewhere. You know, I'll get my sense of joy from other things. But here's the thing. There's consequences for not putting God first. It's not just, well, it's optional. You know, I can either enjoy the benefits of putting God first and have joy in my life or not. It's not take it or leave it. It's either, yeah, you can obey the commandment and have the joy, or you can disobey the commandment to put God first and not only have absence of joy, real, true, lasting joy in your life, but then you can also enjoy, you know, the punishment and chastisement of God in your life. So, you know, it is a commandment, and just like Israel here, when they chose to ignore the Lord, when they chose to go and burn incense and sort of serve other gods whom they know not, nor their fathers, God punished them. Verse 4, he says, howbeit I sent unto you all the servants, my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. He's like, don't do this. I hate this. It's an abomination to me. So even then, God is trying to bring them back, warn them, say, hey, turn from these false gods, come back to the true and living God. You know, and really that's all I'm trying to do this morning. You know, if you're one who has, you know, strayed from the Lord, has not been putting God first, you know, I'm just doing as the servants of the prophets back then, you know, trying to tell you, come back. You know, put God first in your life. You know, make God a priority in your life. You'll have joy. And, you know, you'll at least have the joy of not being punished. Verse 5, but they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth, and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as this day." So, you know, putting Jesus first, having joy in our life, it's a commandment. You know, it's not just something, hey, if you want to have joy, it's there for you. It's an option. No, it's a commandment. Now, the good news is that if we do put God first, and if you would, go to Psalms 37, not only are we going to avoid, you know, God pouring forth his anger in our lives, but we'll also have, you know, a joy, a peace that the world cannot offer. You know, you think you're going to find those things out there in some whatever, all these things that are out there, all these things to entertain and distract us and to numb us, all those things that the world offers up to try and fill some void in our life, you think you're going to find it there, you're not. It's not there. It might be, you know, there is the pleasure of sin for a season, you know, but sin bringeth forth death in our life, the Bible says. You know, you think you're going to have it, you might experience a little bit of numbness, you might experience a little bit of a high or whatever it is that you're pursuing is going to give you, but you know it's going to be fleeting, it's not going to last, and eventually it's going to get old. It all gets old. Anybody who's ever had, you know, pursued different hobbies and things like that, they probably all have come to the point, or they will, or at some point where it's just going to be kind of old. It's just kind of, this has just kind of gotten old. And then it's on to the next thing. You got to find something else, you know. Not so with the Lord. Not so with the Bible. The Bible just gets deeper, fuller. Our walk with God just gets richer, and there's just more joy there, and it's a joy that is going to see us through the hard times in our lives. That's what true joy is. And it's not a numbing. It's not what the world offers. Here, drink this, take this pill, escape, you know, through whatever form of entertainment you want. That's not real joy, friend. Real joy allows you to go through those things and endure and understand and still have peace. I mean, this is a commandment to put God first. This is something that, you know, if we remember, I'll just read you from Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness, you know, the devil took him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them. He's offering him the world, right? And he's saying, just bow down and worship me and I'll give you all of this that the world has to offer. And Jesus said, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now, that's the example that Christ has set for us, to put God first, you know, which would mean to put the world last. You know, Jesus, obviously none of us is going to be offered all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. You know, we're not going to be given that. But, you know, the world does bring its offerings, doesn't it? The world has its allure. The world's always trying to woo us and to win us to itself. You know, and there are a lot of things that if we aren't careful, could steal our hearts away from, you know, serving God, could steal our hearts away from putting God first. You know, but we have to understand is that when we do that, we're not just forsaking our opportunity to have joy in our life, we're actually breaking a commandment, you know, the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, right? So it is a command, but you know, here's the great thing about putting God first, you know, of putting that J in the front of joy, is that not only are you fulfilling the commandment, but, you know, there is a positive result. Just as much as there's a negative result for ignoring it, for not doing so, there is the positive result when you do it. And what is the positive result? It's the comfort. It's comfort. You know, often we might think of joy to mean different things to us, you know, but joy, you know, it can be a very comforting thing. You know, I think it's a very joyful thing to have comfort in your life, you know, and we're all going to need that because we're all going to have times in our life, you know, where we're hurt, where we're going through some difficulty, some trial. It's going to touch every one of us. We'll need comfort. Look at Psalms 37, verse 1. It says there in verse 1 of Psalm 37, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." You say, why would anyone envy the workers of iniquity? Because as I mentioned a moment ago, there is pleasure in sin for a season. You know, the Christian even can look at the world, can look at the workers of iniquity and actually begin to envy what they have and desire it for themselves and say, that's what I want for myself. You know, I wish I could do what they do. I wish I could get involved in the sin that they get involved in. Because we all have the flesh. God's, and we're being warned here in the Word of God to not fret ourselves, to not sit there and go, man, I wonder what I'm missing out on by living the Christian life. Well, you're missing out on a lot of heartache. You're missing out on a lot of other things that are very negative that the world doesn't put out there front and center, that they don't tell you about. Right? And he's saying, look, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. The world that prospers, you know, verse 2, shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I mean, think about what he's saying right there. That if you would delight yourself in the Lord, he would give you the desires of your heart. You know, it's almost kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy there, right? But, you know, if we had our priorities right, if God was our delight, you know, we would have the desires of our heart. You know, instead of desiring everything that the world has to offer and constantly just desiring the next gadget or gizmo or wealth or just desiring everything that the world has to offer and constantly chasing our tail out there for those things, having no joy, if we would just instead delight ourselves in the Lord, you know, in simple things like reading our Bibles, like memorizing Scripture, if we'd fall in love with these things, if we would delight ourselves also in the Lord, then we would have the desires of our heart. The problem is that our desires often aren't lined up with God. We end up just fretting over the workers of iniquity, desiring what they have, and not having joy in our life. But if we would delight ourselves in the Lord, he would give us the desires of our heart. He says in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as thy light, as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And you know, we shouldn't fret about the wicked. We have this comfort that's being offered to us, that God is going to, you know, bring forth our righteousness as the light and our judgment as the noonday. You know, if we're reading our Bibles, if we understand what is to come in the next world, when Christ returns, the resurrection, that we shall be as he is, that we'll have that new body, that we will rule and reign with Christ. You know, what does the world have to offer that's going to compare to that? Nothing even comes close. I mean, what could even begin to scratch the surface, could even begin to approach unto the inheritance that we have in Christ, to be fellow heirs with the Lord? So what are you talking about? Well, see, this is why we have to put God first, to know these things, to understand these things, and to believe them and to know them. To have that's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We go from just believing these things to knowing these things, to being assured of these things. You know, that's the witness of the Spirit that we have that the world doesn't. And that we know, we don't just believe, but we go to a place where we know that we are going to be in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be raised. We're gonna be with Christ in the clouds forever. So shall we ever be with the Lord. We understand the things that are to come. You know, that gives us great peace. That gives us great joy. But you know what? If we're not delighting ourselves in the Lord, if that isn't what thrills us, if we're ignorant of those things, if we just kind of know that's maybe just some Baptist fairy tale that we heard once, you know, then you know what? We're probably not going to have the joy. You know, then we're not going to have that. We're going to be seeking it elsewhere and not finding it. But if we understood those things, you know, we would have, we would have godliness and contentment, which is great gain, the Bible says. So rest in the Lord, verse 7. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Go over to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. So again, we're talking about having joy this morning, right? J-O-Y, Jesus, others, you. You know, that's a very important, simple thing to keep in mind. You know, it's a very simple acronym to keep in mind, you know, throughout our whole lives. And obviously, you know, when we divide that up into Jesus, others, yourself, you know, we're emphasizing Jesus. We're putting emphasis on that first letter. Right? J. And I'm spending most of my sermon this morning talking about that aspect of it because that's the most important part. And the world is completely backwards. You know, they put why first. They want to put themselves first. They want to, it's very selfish. It's all about them. It's all about me. It's all about what I want, what I can get, what benefits me, 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 me. That's how the world works. That's the philosophy that they have. That's what they tell you to do. That's what the world wants. They just want you to get involved in that. And then if you have time, make time for others, right? Maybe. And then, you know, if you're one of those religious types, like, you can go ahead and put God in there at the end. You can have Jesus too. But you don't really need that. They have it completely backwards. And, you know, as a result, they are often some of the most miserable people that you'll meet, honestly. And I don't say that in a deriding way. I pity that. I feel sorry for that. You know, any of us that have experienced that know that's true. You know, that before we got saved, in all likelihood, we were very discontent and maybe even sad, miserable. We didn't have the joy that we have now. You know, even my lowest points as a Christian are, you know, nowhere near as my lowest points as an unsaved heathen. And today, it like boggles the mind to think how anybody can live this life without knowing who God is or where they're going to go when they die. Like, how do you, well, how do they do that? Well, they just numb themselves. They distract themselves. They put it as far out of their mind as they can. They get God, as they turn that joy around and they put themselves first and they just try not to think about God so they can just make it through this life with some kind of false sense of joy. You know, we need to put God first. This is something that is just commanded over and over again. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." The psalmist said, "As for me, I will call upon God. The Lord shall save me. Evening, morning, and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." I mean, he's crying out evening, morning, and at noon. He's crying out to God. That sounds like somebody who's put God first in their life. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now, it's important to point out that this is the fruit of the Spirit. And it's not fruits. You know, this is the fruit of the Spirit, meaning the fruit of the Spirit is all of these things. It's not, you know, I'm going to have a little bit of love and a little bit of peace, but I'm going to skip on the joy. I'll pass on that. You know, it's not like you pick, this isn't, you know, the buffet line or something. This is the whole enchilada, right? You get all of this. Doesn't that sound like a good deal? To have all of these things, you have the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the ability to love other people and put up with other people and be patient with other people and not get aggravated with other people and have people do the same for us. You know, when we get out of line, when we're being cantankerous, when we're having a bad day, you know, they could do the same for us. To have goodness, to have faith, to have meekness, temperance. You know, these are things that come of the Spirit, right? These are the fruits of this is the fruit of the Spirit that God bears in our lives. This isn't something you can just go pick up. You know, this isn't just something that you can just turn off and on. If you want these things in your life, you know, the Spirit is the one that has to bring them to fruition in your life, meaning that you have to put God first. You have to make God the priority in your life to have these things. And if you don't, then you're not going to have these things. It goes on and says in verse 24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." That's part of that process. You want to have the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to have to do as Paul said and mortify your members in the flesh. Paul said, "I die daily." I mean, think about all the things the Apostle Paul went through. All the trials and the hardship, all the temperance he had to have, all the long-suffering he had to have with people who mistreated him, you know, the unsaved, the persecution, everything. How did he manage to go through all that? With joy. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that Paul was, you know, it was Paul who said, "Rejoice, and again I say rejoice." You know, Paul is the one that is reminding us to be joyful people. I have no doubt that despite everything that Paul went through, he was probably a very joyful person. He was probably a very pleasant person to be around. He was probably had a lot of joy in his life. Paul, no doubt, the author of Galatians, knew what it was to have the fruit of the Spirit in his life. How did he get it? Because he did what? Crucified the flesh. He mortified his member. He said, "I die daily." And he said, "If we live in the Spirit," verse 25, "let us also walk in the Spirit." It's one thing to live in the Spirit, to have eternal life, to be sealed unto the day of our redemption, right? But it's another thing to walk in the Spirit until that day. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. If you would, go back to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Don't get too excited. I'm not going the direction you probably might be thinking.
You know, it's funny, you know, like, if we're saved and we're going to go to heaven and we're going to be in the presence of God, I don't think anyone in the room would argue that there's going to be fullness of joy. That's going to be a very joyful thing to stand before the Lord, to be in the presence of God. I don't think any of us are going to go in heaven. You know, none of us is going to be nodding off in heaven. We're going to be wide-eyed and alert and awake and trying to take it all in heaven. You know, we're not going to want to miss a moment of it. There's going to be fullness of joy in the presence of God. But here's the thing. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. You know, we can have that even now. We can have, maybe not to the, obviously, the extent, you know, we're going to have in heaven, but we can still have that same, we can be in God's presence even now. And in a sense, we already are. But we can have a deeper understanding, a deeper sense of being in that presence that will bring joy into our life. Maybe not the fullness that we'll have in heaven, but, you know, if we go in the path of life that God lays out in His Word, we will have fullness of joy. He said, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, God wants to bless us. God wants to bring good things into our life. God wants to give us a blessed life. It's just that we so often say, no, thank you. And then we wonder why, you know, our life is going the way it is. Why we don't have the presence of God. Why we don't have the joy that we others might have. So that's that's the first letter. And again, I put a lot of emphasis on that because that's what you got to do if you want to have joy. That's where the emphasis needs to be in your life, is on Jesus, on God, on the Bible, okay? But after that is the O, J-O, right, which would be others. You know, we need to learn to put other people ahead of ourselves, okay? If you look at Leviticus chapter 19, look at verse 15. He said, "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment." Leviticus 19, 15. "But thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor." So he's saying, look, don't be partial in judgment, right? He's saying, be careful how you treat other people, and don't give them preference based upon social status or wealth or anything. Verse 16, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor." Excuse me, "I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt not in any wise rebuke thy neighbor." Excuse me, "Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and shall not suffer sin upon him." He's basically saying, don't bear a grudge. You know, if your brother offend you, go to him and tell him. You know, and if you repent, forgive him, right? That's what he's saying here. "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor," you know, "and not suffer sin upon him," right? Don't allow him to sin against you. Rebuke him. Get it right, okay? But you can see how these verses, they're talking about, you know, our interpersonal relationships, how we treat other people, okay? And this is a big part of having joy in your life. Think about people who don't have joy. Are they type of people that you want to be around? Typically not. They're typically people who are very hard to be around. They're people like you're just waiting, like, man, when can I get it? You're trying to make it an excuse. Like, I think I left the oven on. I mean, it's something. You know, you're trying to get away from that situation just because you don't want to be around this person. And what are those people typically like? Very self-centered, very selfish people. And those are the people that don't have joy. They're not thinking about you, what's in your best interest. I mean, they'll even step on your head to get ahead in life. They'll use you like a ladder to get ahead. I mean, they'll use you and treat you poorly because they put themselves before other people. But, you know, and consequently, they don't have any joy either. What a coincidence. But the people that seem to have the most joy are the people that seem to consider other people and consider the feelings of other, how they treat other people. Verse 18, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." That's a commandment again. You know, Jesus said that is the second and greatest commandment. It is like unto the first, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon this, all the law and the prophets hang. And I'm kind of paraphrasing there, I know. But he's saying that's how important it is. Lord, which is the greatest of commandments? Love the Lord thy God, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and thyself. Upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It can all be summed up in this as saying, love thy neighbor as thyself. How are we going to fulfill the law? How are we going to do all these things? By loving our neighbors as ourselves, as we, you know, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. The golden rule that even the world teaches, that even the unsaved heathen understands. That if you want to be treated well, you need to treat others well. That's another part of having joy in your life. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Look, if we put God first, if we put the emphasis on Jesus, if we put obeying God's commandments and walking in the Spirit, if we put those things first, then obviously very quickly we're going to learn that we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. You know, and we're gonna endeavor to treat others well. We're gonna care about other people. You know, and that's just gonna be the natural consequence of putting Jesus first. So when you fail to do that, when you fail to put Jesus first, you can see how everything else just kind of gets out of order. Everything else, when you just don't put God first, everything else just falls apart. Everything else is out of balance. You have to put God first, Jesus, then others, and then you. It has to be in this order. Matthew 19, he says in verse 16, Matthew 19:16, and behold, one came unto him, saying, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus saith unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have a treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now notice what he's saying there. He's saying, put me first. Come follow me. Right? It's great that you've done all these things. You know, I seriously question whether, you know, obviously he hasn't. Probably could have kept a lot of those things, but that's the world, what they world do. Well, I haven't killed anybody. I haven't committed adultery. I'm a pretty good person, right? Jesus said, you know, if you've done these things in your heart, you know, you've already broken these commandments. But notice here that's not what I want to go off on, but Jesus is making the point, hey, look, you need to put me first. But notice what's part of that equation as well. Sell all that thou hast and give it to the poor. It's me and others. Me, follow me, and give to the poor. Come follow me. Come with me and we'll minister to other people. We'll go preach the gospel. Verse 22, but the young man heard that saying and went away perfectly content to live his life as it was. He went away with great peace in his life. He went away and had great joy. Is that what it says? No, it says when he heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He had everything the world had to offer, and yet he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he could not put Jesus first. He was more concerned about himself. He couldn't put Jesus first. He didn't want to put others first. As a result, he went away sorrowful. And look, if that's what we do in our life, if we say, put ourselves ahead of Jesus, we put ourselves ahead of others, you know what? Just be prepared to go away sorrowful at one point or another. You might even attain all that the world has to offer and get to the end of your life and find out it's all vanity, that it's all empty and meaningless, that no one's going to remember any of it, and that the only thing that matters is what we do for eternity. And if we could understand that now, you know, if he had just sold what he had and gave to the poor and followed Jesus, he would have gone away with great joy. He would have been rejoicing to have been in the presence of God. But instead, you know, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was just more about concern about what he could possess and achieve in this life. We need to put others before ourselves. Obviously, I've just spent the vast majority of the sermon already on putting Jesus first, putting God first. But also, after that, you know, a natural consequence of that will be to put others first. Go to James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, I'll read you from Galatians 5. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only not use this liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's a commandment, to serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. James chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the Lord of faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. If there come one unto your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there cometh another in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you say, ye have respect unto him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. He's saying, look, these rich men that oppress us, these people that blaspheme that worthy name, you know, why would we have more respect unto them than unto the poor of this world that are rich in faith? Thou shalt love thy neighbor and thyself, you do well. But, verse 9, if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all. You know, we often quote that, verse 10, out there soul winning, trying to make the point, hey, we're all sinners. It's interesting that it's in this context. That, you know, if we don't love our neighbor as ourself, you know, we might have broken all the commandments. Right? So how do I love others? You know, how do I do that? You know, obviously, something we emphasize here is soul winning. Soul winning. You know, and it's always amazing to me how soul winning changes people's attitudes. You know, self included. You know, often, you know, I'll go ahead and just confess my fault to you right now. You know, sometimes I show up at a soul winning time and I'm not real excited to go soul winning. Sometimes I show up and I wonder, maybe nobody else will come and then I can do something else. Oh, I'm not the only one. Oh, isn't that funny? What do you know? People go soul winning consistently. They don't show up every time, you know, just beaming and radiating to go out there and have people not interested or whatever. You know, often we still get into good neighborhoods and stuff like that. But, you know, what's funny to me is even if we get together and we go out there, even if it's not a receptive neighborhood, by the time I'm done, I'm like, what was my problem? You say, I have joy. Whether I get people saved or not, if I preach the gospel or not, I come back, I have joy. I mean, good night. We went out soul winning yesterday, you know, raining. And everybody at the end of the soul winning time was smiling and happy, and maybe they're happy it was over. I don't know. But, you know, everyone seemed in a very pleasant mood, and we're going out in the rain. You know, we went to an apartment complex. We had some cover. You know, we'll have the rainy day maps. You know, but we had joy. You know, and honestly, some people might have come yesterday and kind of just doing that just out of a sense of duty. Just, I just got to be there. Rain or shine, we're going to go. Don't really want to be here. You know, but it's funny that even when the sun, you know, out of the 5 days of out of the year that actually the sun can't be seen here in Arizona, you know, even then we went out and we had joy in our heart. Why? Because we put other people first. You know, if you want to have joy in your life, do things for other people. Go to Ephesians 5. We'll close there. Ephesians chapter number 5. You know, it's funny if we just do. Don't you ever feel good when you do something for them? Well, and not even talking about soul winning. Obviously, that's the greatest good we could do for somebody is to go out and preach them the gospel and get them saved. You know, that brings great joy into our hearts. But what if we just help people generally in life? What if we're just trying to help other people? You know, that's what I found. People that seem to be the most helpful, that are willing to volunteer and help other people, you know, they generally are pleasant people to be around. I'm not saying always, but, you know, we all have our bad days. I get that. You know, but generally speaking, you know, people that try to be helpful and are considerate of others are typically very joyful people, pleasant people to be around, right? If that's the type of person we want to be, that's what we have to do. You know, if we're selfish, self-centered people, you know, our sphere of friends is probably going to shrink. You know, we're probably going to find people not wanting to spend a lot of time with us, okay? You know, and I'll close on this thought. You know, this is a very important concept when it comes to marriage. You want to have a joyful marriage? You want to have peace and joy in your marriage? Stop asking, you know, what you can get out of your spouse, what they're going to do for you, and start doing things for them. Think about how you can love them. I mean, that's how it's supposed to work. Husband, you know, verse 25, Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love yourselves. And make sure your wife, you know, does everything you want, just the way you want it, and just panders to your every wish and desire. No, he's saying love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How should a husband love his wife? Just like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Sacrificing himself by not, you know, it's the complete opposite of being selfish. You want to be a happy person? Stop being a selfish person and do things for other people. You want to have a joyful marriage? You know, do things for your spouse. Husbands, do things for your wives. Well, she's there to serve me. I know, I get that. She's supposed to keep the house and do all the duties and things like that. But you know what? They have things that they need too. You know, we have to sacrifice for them and do things for them and provide for them and everything. We have our own duties. Let's make sure we're doing it. Just like Christ loved the church, verse 26, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the word, water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle nor any such thing, that should be holy and without blemish. So also ought men to love their wives, even as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it. And this is my last point. I'm going to close and just, you say, well, what about you? What about me? You know, what about the why there? Well, let's just spend like 2 minutes on you, right? Because what, I mean, that's by design, folks, in the sermon. Jesus, big part of the sermon, others, then you. Look, and if we make ourselves, you know, small, you know, if we focus on ourselves less and others and God more, we'll have more joy in our life. Instead of just worrying all the time about what we can get out of life, what we can get out of other people, you know, we ought to be focused on what we can do for others, what we can do to serve God, and put ourselves last. He says there, he said, verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it. Well, how can you love yourself? Take care of yourself. There, that's, you say, well, what am I supposed to do to love myself? Take care of yourself. You know, that's something we probably, most of us, a lot of us don't figure out until we're, you know, well into our 30s. And by then, we just know we should, right? And then hopefully by the time we're 40, we actually start trying to do it. Right? You know, we can go ahead and start that any time in our life. You know, the sooner the better. You know, that's it. You say, what do you mean? You know, just take care of yourself. Take care of your physical being. Don't let yourself fall apart. Take care of yourself. That, you know, you want to learn how to, what can you get it for you? What's for you this morning? That's it. That's all I got. Take care of yourself. Brush your teeth and get some sleep. Try not to eat too much sugar. All right? There. And then just spend the rest of everything else caring about other people, caring about Jesus and all those things, you know, and put those things first, and then we'll worry about you. But we don't want to develop this other attitude where it's like, well, I'm not important at all. No, you're still worth taking care of. You still need to watch out for yourself and devote time to yourself. I'm not saying we want to become some, you know, some kind of a monk, some, you know, self-flagellating monk. We're just beating ourselves over here. We still want to take care of ourselves. He says here, for this cause shall a man leave his brother and his wife and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let everyone so particular love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. So here's the thing, you know, take care of yourself. Why? Because if you don't take care of yourself, can you really take care of other people? You know, if we don't look out for ourselves to some degree, you know, all these other areas are going to kind of fall apart. Obviously, those are the most important areas if we want joy in our lives. But, you know, if we neglect ourselves too much, you know, we're going to fall apart. So it's, you know, this idea of loving yourself, it's not a matter of neglect. It's a matter of priority when it comes to joy, if that makes sense. Okay? It's not about neglecting yourself to the exclusion of everything else, you know, or for the sake of everything else, rather. You know, it's a matter of priority. Obviously, take care of yourself, but make sure we're putting Jesus and others before yourself, and you will have joy. Let's go and pray. Dear Lord, again, thank you for the opportunity that we have in this life, Lord, to have great joy, Lord, to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to consider the joy that is to come in heaven with you, and Lord, that you would help us to serve you in this life and to serve others, and Lord, to not neglect this temple, this vessel that you've given us to do so with. Lord, I pray that you just bless the rest of this day. We ask in Christ's name, amen. All right, we'll go ahead and sing one more song before we go.
Let's turn our hymnals to song number 294. Song number 294, Stepping in the Love. Song 294.